It was "We Shall Overcome." And I know without a doubt, I was like so many people, wondering and thinking about, where is my life going? What is going on? I've never seen anything like we were experiencing last year. But some today are thinking about their lives and they're wondering, what is going on? Amen. We all think about it from time to time, especially when something happens. We wonder, what is going on? Where is this leading my life to? Amen. We pause. We stop. And we think, what did I do? Where did I go wrong? We start to take our own inventory. We start to question ourselves. Who am I? Is this the life that I signed up for? Is there some purpose that God has in my life, hallelujah, that I don't know about? Sometimes we even ask the question, God, why did you put me here? Why have you put me here? But I'm here to tell you this morning that you can discover that in the course of your life, you will discover your purpose in God's words. Amen? Don't look to man to tell you, because they'll tell you where to go. But your purpose in life is in God's word. And that our lives do have a profound and revolutionary purpose. I use those words on purpose. Profound, that means that it is something that will make an impact on something or somebody or someone. Amen? And it has a revolutionary purpose. In other words, it's not just going to do nothing, but it has a revolutionary effect where you can raise somebody up. It's an action word where you can start somebody that was passive and get them going in the direction that God wants them to go. So God didn't make us for a reason, and it's all connected in the extraordinary work that he's doing right now in your life. See, you think that there's nothing going on in your life today, or you might think that everything is going wrong in your life today, but it's not. It's not. Don't let the enemy tell you that it is, but it's not. Every plot and every plan of the enemy is trying to uncover and unfold and take you away from what God has for you. You can't have the testimony God wants you to have without the test. Because God has somebody for you to witness to. He has somebody who's going to look at you and they're going to turn their life around because you did it. And you are able to speak to them. You're able to speak life into their life. Amen? God has a purpose for everything that goes on in your life. We need to understand that in the course of your life, that word, the course of your life, can be defined as a lifetime. It can be defined as a natural life. It can be defined as your time spent here on earth. Some people will say, well, you know, during the course of their life, they did this, that, so forth, and the other. Amen? But that's just to say that there are courses in your life, in the course of your life. There are courses in your life, in the course of your life. Because the course that you started out on, you might not be in that same course today. Amen? We know that the courses in your life can change the courses of your life. Amen? There are physical changes to your body when you go from a baby to infant, child, to an adolescent, to a teenager, to a young adult, to a man or a woman, to a mother, a father, a dad, amen, a grandparent, amen. There's changes in the course of your life that changes the course of your life. You can be married. You can be single. You could be divorced, amen. You could be a widow. You could be a widower. Those are changes in the course of your life that changes the course of your life. Amen? But God is in the middle of all of that. Amen? Because he wrote the end to the beginning. Amen? There are physical changes in the course of your life. Amen? You crawl before you could walk, and you walk before you could run. You can't move, you can't see, you can't eat, you can't breathe, you can't hear, you can't taste, you can't eat, and you can't speak. Those are physical changes in the course of your life. And sometimes in the course of your life, that road that you're on, it seems to be more hindrances than plain smooth road. Amen? So many things that you got to climb over. Somebody say amen. So many things you got to crawl under. So many things you got to balance. So many things you got to jump over. So many things you got to swim through. Amen? But the obstacle course of the part of your life is for the testing. It's for the training. Amen? Because when you see, you can't just go run an obstacle course and say, I'm just going to go run it. You got to practice. You can't be a champion until you practice over and over and over again. Amen? If you look at these people on the Olympic trials right now, they're jumping over hurdles. They're running races like it's easy. They're breaking records like it's easy. But let me tell you, that 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes of glory took years of preparation. So that one person or three people that you might witness to on any given day for maybe a minute or two, maybe it took you years of obstacle courses for you to be able to witness as a champion of Christ to somebody. Somebody say amen. While we run this race, the Bible lets us know that the obstacle course is just part of the race that God has designated for you. The Bible also lets us know that it's not a swift race. It's a marathon. It's a long race. And along this race, there are different trials on the route. The Bible says it's not for the swift. It's not for the strong. It is characterized by a concentrated effort. Amen? There's a strategy that you must use when you're running this marathon of life. There is a finish line that you have to cross, but you only finish it when you finish your course. Amen? The Bible lets us know that others have been there and have done that. And that is a key component of the message today is wherever you're going, somebody been there already. Wherever you are going, somebody has been there already, been there, done that, and gotten through that. Amen? And gotten through that successfully. So the scripture reading for today, I'm going to ask you to stand because there's only a couple of scriptures. It is from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 to 3. And it says, wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is so set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I know that this is only three scriptures, but I got to tell you that this is one of the most stirring passages in scripture. It is a passage that is written for the purpose of encouraging us to keep on keeping on. Amen? To keep on keeping on running in the race for Christ. This is a race that we are going towards, and we have a great goal to keep our eyes on while we are running this race. It is a race for heaven. It is a race for life, both an abundant life right here, right now, and an eternal life. Ain't that God giving us a double blessing of life? An abundant life right here, right now, and an eternal life later on. He don't just give you one thing, but he gives you multiple things. And it's free. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. It is a race for the promised land. It is a race to the eternal land to live with God forever. I don't know what you come to church for if you're not coming because you are trying to seek to get to the eternal life. The goal is to get there. Amen. The goal is to be with him forever. The goal is to die but to live again. So if you're coming for the singing, you got it wrong. If you're coming for the preaching, you got it wrong. But if you're coming to develop that fellowship and get to know him a little bit more, because your goal is to get to the promised land, you're in the right place. The scripture tells us that we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. How inspiring is that? That we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So imagine yourself that you're in a coliseum or a stadium somewhere, and you're running this race called life, and there is a cloud of witnesses cheering you on. The Bible says we are encompassed. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And you say, well, Pastor, who are those witnesses? Well, those witnesses are the heroes of chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, because they have all participated in the same race that you and I are going through. Amen? Those clouds of witnesses include Abel and Enoch, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, Joseph and Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, and David. They have finished the race for themselves. Amen? But they're encompassed around you, cheering you on. They endured temptation. They went against the looking, the touching, the tasting, the doing, the thinking, the feeling, and saying anything that would hinder their race. Now, I know you're saying, well, you know, some of them names are a little funny, Pastor. But let me tell you something. They all believe God and stood fast against all kind of opposition. They did not give in to temptation for long. I didn't say they didn't give in to temptation. I didn't say they didn't make mistakes. I didn't say that they had a little dirty baggage going on at times. But they didn't do it for long. Amen? That's why they are written down in the hall of heroes. But when they start talking about each and every one of them, they had two words that they would place in front of them. And it says, by faith. So by faith, Enoch. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Rahab. Is it by faith, you and me? Here you are. We're in this race of life, and the race is about to begin, but the scripture gives us some instructions. Amen? See, we got to pay attention to instructions. Instructions are for our good. Amen? Can I get an amen? No, can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? The instruction says, lay aside every weight. It says, get rid of your excess weight. You can't climb. You can't run this race. You can't run and keep going and going and going and enduring to the end with all of this weight. Whatever your weight is that you can run with, I can't do it. Whatever your weight is that you got to run this race with, I can't do it. Your weight and my weight is two different weights. Mike, you're able to run around with 250 pounds. I can't hardly walk at that weight. I can't stand myself at that weight. So I can't carry that weight. But when somebody has a weight on them, you don't know the weight that God gave them to carry. So you shouldn't be talking about nobody, about what they're doing, what they ain't doing, what they should be doing. I want you to realize that in the scriptures, these three scriptures, that Jesus is the supreme example of endurance. So as you run your race, remember Jesus, because he participated. He participated in the race himself. When God came down in human form as Jesus, he chose to participate in the race himself. Amen? He actually ran the race of faith. He's not telling you to do something that he didn't do. Amen? In fact, he is the author. And the finisher of faith. How can you write something that you don't know? The author had to experience it to write it down. The author had to go through it in order to know it. He couldn't write that he's the author and finisher of our faith if he didn't do it. So he came down as a human, and he went through what we go through in faith. But the Bible tells me that he also was the finisher, because he died on the cross. And therefore, he led his life perfectly. And he can say that he is the author and the finisher. You can open the book, but he can close the book. Amen? And if he didn't die on the cross and rose the third day, he could not be the finisher. But because he did that, he is now the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the finisher because he perfected it. He perfected finishing strong. He's the finisher because he began it, he originated it, he created it, and he gave birth. You know this race that you run in, the Christian race? There's no Christian race without Jesus Christ starting it and finishing it. What race you running without Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of your faith? Amen? And when he ran this race of faith, he ran it in obedience, and he trusted in God the Father. Amen? Undoubtedly, those many times that he went to be alone with his Father, I believe he questioned him. I believe he asked him. I believe he wanted to know, is this what you wanted to do? Have you ever taking a little kid when they first ride their bike and they're learning to ride their bike, and they got the training wheels on, and then they take one training wheel off and they lean in that way, and then they learn to lean straight, and then all of a sudden they're riding and that training wheel is up, and then you take that one off and then you're holding their hands and they're riding on it, and all of a sudden they let go, you let go, and they're riding. I believe that God was holding Jesus' hands at times and carrying him through some stuff that he was going through as a human and giving him guidance, amen? And then when Jesus could ride, he let go. He let go. We talked about Jesus not doing ministry and getting into his ministry until 30 years old, amen? There was a process that he had to go through, amen? There was a process that he had to go through in order to learn about what it is that you and I are going to go through. Amen? I was talking to First Lady on the way here this morning, and I said, yeah. I said, you know, Jesus had to go through this stuff when he was young. I said, he lost his father when he was young. So therefore, he was the oldest. He had to become the man of the house. Somebody say amen. He had to make a way for his mother, brother, sisters, etc. Amen? Somebody say amen. Because his mother was a widower. So when you see in the Bible, when Jesus had compassion on the widowers, he knew what it was all about. He knew when people talked about him. You know, nobody talked about you like your family. They believe they got a right to say things and call you things. And nobody else got a right to do that. And they'll get upset if somebody else do that. But they believe they have a right to do it because that's blood. So Jesus understood when people talked about him, when people turned their back on him. He understood all of that. This is the training in the 18 years from 12 to 30. Amen? He couldn't write the book if he didn't go through it. Amen? The book of faith. Amen? He is the finest example of our dependence on God and our obedience to God and for righteousness towards God. He participated in the joy of winning. That's why as Christians, true Christians, we want joy. Because every time the devil tries to do something to us, we are winning. We are winning. Winning. No, winning. There's a joy to winning. We are winning. And every time you win a race, you're just building up to that big finish to get that crown of glory. Amen? You might get a trophy today, but you're going for a crown of glory, a crown of jewels. Hallelujah. Jesus disciplined himself. There's a big word there. Discipline. He disciplined himself to the point of death. He disciplined himself to follow the rules. You know, Jesus could have changed the script at any time. But there was a race to be run. There was a course that he had to finish. And when you look at the crucifixion, I want you to look at it in a different way. When Jesus says it is finished, look at it and interpret it as I won. I won. Jesus won the war against Satan and everybody else when he rose from the grave. Amen. It is finished. The race is finished, and he won. He won. And because he won, we won. Because he won, we can win. Amen. Jesus is saying, I did it. Have you ever done something and you just felt so good and you just didn't even know that you were going to be able to do it? And you say, I did it. Some people go into school, the college, high school, even kindergarten. They be like, I did it. Amen? It is an accomplishment. Amen? Jesus Christ ignored. He despised the shame of the cross in order to finish the race in perfect obedience to God. In your race, saints, I'm saying that there are some things you're going to have to ignore. There's some shame people are going to want to put on you. They're going to want to despise you. You're going to just have to overlook it because you're going to have to keep your eyes on the cross. Amen? Jesus ran this race and disciplined himself, and he got his reward. Jesus' reward in the Bible, it says he was exalted and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen? The Bible, and verse 3, it says now, consider him, talking about Jesus, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Before I go into what happened to Jesus, I want you to understand that this scripture is saying that keep in your mind who Jesus Christ is as the Son of the living God. Amen. And consider all that he went through. And he went through it boldly. And it says, when you consider that, don't get faint. Don't get upset. Don't lose heart in your mind at the things that you will go through. Can I get an amen? Amen. Christ suffered so much more than we have to endure. Amen? Now, we have gone through some of these things, and I'm going to say we have gone through some of these things, but this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is royalty here. Amen? He was born to an unwed mother. Born out of wedlock. He was born in a stable, the worst of conditions. He was born to parents that were poor. He was having his life threatened as a baby. He was the cause of unimaginable sorrow. He had to be moved and shifted as a baby. He was raised up in a despicable place they call Nazareth. His earthly father died during his youth. He had to support his mother, brother, and sisters. He never had no home, not even a place to lay his head. He was hated and opposed by the religionists. He was charged with insanity. He was charged with being demon-possessed. He was opposed by his own family. He was rejected and hated and opposed by audiences to whom he spoke. He was betrayed by one of his best friends. He was left alone and rejected and forsaken by all of his friends. He was being tried before a high court, and he was charged with treason. He was executed by crucifixion, which was the worst possible death at that time. So when you compare the sufferings that you go through and you want to put your head down, think of the sufferings of Christ, and he never put his head down. He always looked up towards the heavens where his Father was. Amen? When you think about all of that he's going through, it should keep you from being tired. It should keep you from being weary. It should keep you from being exhausted. It should keep you from being worn out. It should keep us from thinking in our minds and fainting in our minds that we're losing heart. It should keep you from being discouraged and despondent. It should keep you from drawing back. It should keep you from giving up. Ephesians 6 and 10 starts like this. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Do you know the power of Jesus' might? It says, be strong in the Lord. If you're not strong in anything else, but if you are strong in the Lord and believe in the power of his might, There is nothing that you can't go through. There's nothing that you can't do. But you got to be strong in the Lord. You could go lift weights, you could run track, do all those, but you got to be strong in the Lord. You could have muscles coming out of your ears, but you got to be strong in the Lord. And the power, because that's where the power comes from, in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. So when you're strong in the Lord and things come, you call on the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Am I speaking to somebody today? Does this make sense to you today? Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So when you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might, it says, put on. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Oh, hallelujah. To stand against the wiles of the enemy. You need to know that you got an enemy this morning. You need to know that sometimes the only way that you can stand against the wiles of the enemy is to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then it says we must run our race with patience. Oh, hallelujah. That means endurance. That means fortitude. That means steadfastness. That means with constancy. That means with perseverance. Patience is not a passive word. You think when people have patience, they're passive. Oh, you got it wrong. Patience is an active word. Patience is a powerful word. Oh, there's nothing to get the goat of the enemy when you have patience and wait on the Lord. That drives him crazy. The Bible says, wait. Wait on the Lord. It's an active thing. You think that it's easy trying to control yourself? When something happens, you ready to run out there and do something. You think it's easy to control yourself? But the Bible says, patience. Wait on the Lord. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Patience is an active word. It's not just a spirit to sit back and wait for the trial and put up with the trials of life. You have patience. It don't mean that you just sit there and say, I'll take whatever comes. Rather, it means that you have the spirit of a living God inside of you that stands up and faces the trials of life that are actively going against you. And then you are able to conquer them and overcome them. The Bible says, I can overcome all things through Christ, who strengthens me. When you're waiting on the Lord, you're not being a non-entity. You're being strong in the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 8:37, know in all these things, we're just conquerors. No, we're just conquerors. It says we are more than conquerors. Don't you understand that word, more? We are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Amen? Jesus wants us to be more than conquerors. But how do we do that? Through him that loved us. More than conquerors through him that loved us. Because God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus, you got an assignment. his only begotten son. There's no other son here on earth that was begotten. Only Jesus. Amen? That whosoever, that means you and you and you and you, you is the whosoever over here, you whosoever, whosoever, anybody, anybody, it's open, it's an open season. Whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have. This is the reason why we come in here. Shall have everlasting, everlasting life. This is temporal. This life right here is temporal. Amen? These days are going to be gone. We're going to die a natural death one day. But to have everlasting life, we must believe in him and in the one he sent. Amen? Hallelujah. The scripture makes it very clear to us that it's time for us to start running the race and not faint and get weary. Amen? Some of us are coasting. Some of us are on the sideline saying, I ran the race. The race ain't over till you're dead. I ran the race. I think I made a good time in this race that I ran. I'm just going to wait till it's over now. No. When you take Jesus as your example, he ran the race all the way to the cross. Amen? You run your race all the way to death. All the way till you can't do it no more. And even when you can't do it no more, when you can't sing no more but your presence is here, when you can't stand no more but your presence is here, when you can't jump no more but your presence is here, you're an inspiration to somebody. I remember Bishop Morrison, his presence was right there. And it was a time he could hold the note from here to forever. But when he couldn't, he was still here. You know them flags we were waving this morning? Those are Bishop Morrison's flags. Presence. Still here. Still here. When you live a life for Christ, your life will speak for you. You'll still be here even though physically you're gone. That's how Jesus is still around. He ain't here, but he is here. The Jesus that walked the earth, the physical body, ain't here. But we know that he is God. He is here. Amen? My prayer for you this morning is that you have the faith. You increase your faith to run the race that God has set before you. Know that the different trials and tribulations that go on in your life are just part of the course. Sometimes you're going to go through that part of the obstacle course. Amen? There's going to be rocks to climb, hills to climb, valleys that you got to get out of. Amen? Mud that you got to walk through. You're going to get a little dirty. You're going to get a little dirty. But God ain't looking at your clothes. He's looking at your heart. Amen? He ain't looking at your clothes. He's looking at your heart this morning. And sometimes the road is going to be pretty smooth and pretty nice that you could just run at a nice pace. But it ain't over because when you go around that turn, all of a sudden, you know the roads have turns. They got turns. It ain't always straight. You run in that road, there's a turn. And as soon as you get around that turn, there's another hill to go down. You got to get to the point that when you get through something, expect the next one. When you overcome something, expect the next one. our problems is our situations and part of our problems that we overcome something. We think that everything's clear, and it's not. And then something else comes up, and we're like, where's God? I thought I was through this. No, you are going through it, and every time you're victorious, you get another stone, you get another crown, another piece of jewelry in your crown that you're going to get. Hallelujah. You get more gold, you get more stones, more rubies, more pearls. Hallelujah. You ever sit down and talk to somebody that's elderly and they tell you some of the things that they've gone through and they're looking at you and you're going through something, they just look at you because you don't understand the things that they've gone through and they're looking at you complain. They're looking at you complain because they know what it takes to go through the valley. They know what it takes to climb the hill. And sometimes they just want to give you a word of wisdom, but because you don't want to take it, they can't give it to you. And they're so humble, they just sit back and watch you and let you. God is a God that loves each and every one of us. Hallelujah. He's assigned each and every one of us a course, a road to take. Hallelujah. I am telling you this morning, whatever your road is, whatever your course is, you run your race and you run it with faith. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Let us stand this morning.